2003, we were at a little small church in Palmerdale, Alabama. I was the minister of music, youth pastor and associate pastor, and we got felt like the Lord was leading us to go somewhere else. In March of that year, we were asked to come to a large church in Madison, Alabama, as a worship leader and associate pastor. And then soon after I got there, we were youth for a couple of years more. But that was in March of 2003, and in April 1st of 2003, we found out that Donna had had cancer. We had three small children, and all of our friends and our families and everybody was in Birmingham, and here we are in June, going to be moving to Madison, 2 hours away from family and friends. I remember the day that she had the surgery, and the surgeon, you know, I was talking to the surgeon before, and I said, you know, you'll know something after the surgery. And he goes, oh no, I don't do that. And I'm like, well, you see this every day. Surely when you get in there, you'll be able to tell. And he said, I do not do that. So we'll send it off and we'll find out. And so I'm in the waiting room with friends and family, and I get the call to come and meet with the doctor, and I walk in and he tells me to sit down. And I knew something was up. And he told me, he said, it's cancer. It was like a bomb went off. You know, three small children, here we are about to move. You know, what's gonna happen? And he says, oh, I think, you know, we can do another surgery, try to get margins. Probably just radiation, but you know, that'll be an oncologist call. And so did all that. Of course, we go to the oncologist, and the oncologist is like, oh no, we're doing full-blown chemo, we're doing full-blown radiation. It's gonna be, you know, a year process or more. And so I'm angry, you know, I'm angry at God. I'm like, what am I doing? You know, pulling my family away from friends and family. You know, what are we gonna do? And I'll never forget, I had a pastor friend told me, he said, you just need to go out in the woods somewhere and just let God have it. Just let him have it. He's a big God. He can handle it. You won't be the first person to do it, and you certainly won't be the last person to do it. I thought, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. But I thought, I got to. I went out deep in the woods, and I'll let him have it. I'm looking around, like, I didn't get struck by lightning, you know? But it was a good thing. It was something that I needed to do. And so I talked to the church that we were moving, and I said, look, you know, I'm not sure we need to do this. And they were like, look, we got you. You come on up here. We're going to take care of you and your family, and we'll be here to help do whatever. And we had the church that we were leaving came and helped us pack, because Donna was sick from the chemo and stuff. And then we moved up there, and we had the church that they jumped in and helped us unpack and took the kids, and at one point helped get Donna to Birmingham for treatments and stuff until we got everything moved to Huntsville. So we went on with ministry, and we were there for 9 years. And during that time, there was a lot of things that I, you know, at one point three contemporary services, youth, every Saturday doing rehearsal before Sunday, lots of meetings in a large church, and especially at night. So I gave up a lot of my family time to do that, and didn't really realize, because I was doing it for the Lord and it was ministry, that, you know, that's good, but didn't think a lot about my family like I should have, and I regret that, but that's on me. That was nobody's fault but my own. But anyway, we, being one of four pastors at this large church, I saw a lot of, and was in a lot of meetings with the lead pastor, that when there was a staff member that he wanted to replace with somebody else he had in mind, or he wasn't happy with them, wouldn't stop until that person was gone. And a lot of it was run past us, but ultimately, whether we agreed or not, he was going to do what he wanted to do. And so after about 9 years, 8 years, I guess it was, I started feeling like there was a person that was at the church that that he wanted in my position as worship leader. And I would talk to him about it, and he would deny it and deny it and deny it. And it got more and more into where Donna would ask him and I would ask him, and he kept denying it. Unfortunately, and I guess it was 2011, I guess it was, it was a conversation back and forth with an ex-girlfriend back years ago on Facebook. And it was very inappropriate and wrong for me doing that. And it got to a point to where she tracked me, and I come walking out of a retail store, and there she stood. And it was like a shocker. But anyway, her family found the Facebook messages and called my senior pastor, lead pastor, and called my wife, of course. And so we got called into the office, and the lead pastor said, you know, we're here for your family. You know, we're going to get through this. You know, we're going to get through it. So we were assured of that. And the board called me of the denomination I was a part of, and I had to go before the board, and they recommended that I go to professional counseling, and that I would be on suspension for 45 days. And so I was like, okay, and I went and did the professional counseling. It helped me a lot with the anger and the hurt. And to kind of tell a little bit more about that, the time that this happened, and again, we were questioning him on this other person that was to take my position or whatever. He denied it all the way up to the end. And what I found out was when he called me to tell me that I was going to be on suspension for 45 days, he had already called her before me to say, this is your job now. And he denied it. And it was just a... It was really a stab in the back big time. It just really hurt Donna and I in the middle of all we were going through. I had a meeting with my family to tell them what I had done, and I was a nervous wreck, you know, of what my kids were gonna say. My youngest was 17 at the time and very active in the youth, and of course, rumors were already flying around, and I went and told him, and it's something I'll never forget, that my 17-year-old son, when I got through telling him, it was just silence. And I was waiting for anger. I was waiting for harsh words, whatever it was that they were going to lash, because I deserved every bit of it. My son said, Dad, it's okay. We forgive you. We're all human, and we make mistakes. And you're human too. I wasn't expecting that, especially coming from a 17-year-old kid. Really helped me to move forward, and I did what I was supposed to do. It was a hard time of sitting at home because I was told you can't come to the church. I was told later that he told the staff that no one was to reach out to us. He said that he was told by higher ups that from the denomination that that's what he was supposed to say. He stood in the pulpit. The first Sunday he said it, my wife was leading worship as my assistant that Sunday. The second time he said it, another week, my kids were there and they got up and walked out because they knew that it wasn't the truth. And he was standing up there just continuing to tell lies to cover the basis for him. And so it was very hurtful and it was very painful. We went through that process and, you know, you got your church family, you got your staff that you've been around and nobody's contacting you. Nobody was reaching out. And we felt alone. We felt just deserted. So there was up and down, faith and under fire, you know, major during this time of what's going on. What are we going to do? How is this going to work? What's next? Knowing that going back to that particular church, going back to that was going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible. Later, I found out from my district superintendent that the pastor had asked for me to be moved. And he contacted me and said, I know what's going on. I see what's going on. He said, I got your back. We're gonna get through this. One of the problems was that was the largest church in that denomination and that conference. And so they didn't do a whole lot to them because they were the largest church. So he could do just about what he wanted to. So 45 days came close to being over, and I had gone through the counseling and done what I was supposed to do, and I got a phone call from my district superintendent and said, we're going to put you on another 45-day extension suspension. And my heart sank. Those of you that know me, I'm not one that sits still very much, and as I've gotten older, I have more, but at that time I was wide open all the time, and it was driving me crazy sitting in the house all day, every day, and trying to figure out things to do. But I felt deflated again, another 45 days. So the next day he had left me a message. And so the next day I talked to him and he says, I've got it covered, but I've got to work on some things. He said, that's why I've asked that I ask that your suspension be extended because I need some more time. So in that denomination and the moves, they always happened in June. And the moves began in December and January of the decisions being made. And this was in February. And so he was gonna have to do and get approved a mid-year move for me to another church. And so he worked on it and got me moved to lead pastor a church that had been planted several years ago. And a little small church had been there forever and ever and ever. I never wanted to be a lead pastor. And I told people all the time, the Lord was laughing at me. I was like, Lord, you know, I don't want to be a lead pastor. And he says, yeah, I know, you got two. Kind of kicking and screaming, but thankful I went. And this church was a church that really knew how to pour out the love on people. I was led to Celebrate Recoveries and getting them started. And it said I would love to have a church like full of people like Celebrate Recovery because they're just non-judgmental and loving. And this congregation was real small, but church grew and was able to had to go to two services. So I had to let the little church go, but we were moving along and trying to deal with the hurt every which way I could. Still attending some counseling, trying to work through all those things. But then as anything else in life, something would come up and it would just flare it up, you know, and just really aggravate me. And rumors were flying everywhere about what was happening that were totally false. Some people would call me to ask the questions to find out the truth, but most people didn't. And a lot of it was because they were told not to. But anyway, we get through the congregation. I was there about 6 years and really felt like, you know, it was time for me to do something else. The politics in it, all the things that were going on in that denomination, it was just frustrating and I didn't see an end to it. And I just didn't want to fight it anymore. had an opportunity to start my own business. And so we chose to do that and was going to move from our dream home to Muscle Shoals, Alabama. And then the pain started all over again. There were a lot of hurtful things that were said. People angry because we were leaving for various reasons, different things they said. It was just one thing after another. And a lot of the leadership and the training that we had done and all that stuff, it was just, it's like, what have we done? I mean, I felt like I poured my life into it. And once again, the rug was jerked out again. And it just, real hurtful things. But we knew it was the thing to do, so we moved. And I'll be honest with you, when I got to the Muscle Shoals, I didn't want to go to church. I was done. I was so hurt because of church, you know, and I had people that would say, you know, hurt people are in churches and they hurt people. But when you have pastors and you have staff and you have the congregation and you have all that stuff constantly, I didn't want it. But we decided we'd go and visit. And because I had been a part of every facet of the services, I knew all different things. And so I'd go in, you know, boat up or whatever, and go in there, and I was just critiquing everything. You know, I don't like that, and they did that, you know, and it was wrong. It was totally wrong. But for me, it was my walls being built up, and I was going to keep them up. And so we never could find a church. And we'd go, and then we'd stop going, and then we'd go visit more, and we'd stop visiting. And that went on for, maybe 3 years, 4 years. We had an opportunity to move closer to the grandkids, and so we moved to Athens. And here we go again, the process of finding a church. And when looking online, we found Discovery and decided we'd come visit, and we did, and come in and just tried to sit back and just see what the Lord did, and had an opportunity to go to lunch with you, and we were talking, and found we had a lot of things in common. And I was able to share some things that I hadn't been able to share, and I didn't feel judged, and I felt, hey, I got a connection here. And so we started attending, and okay, Lord, where do you want us to serve? What do you want us to do? And then I can't pinpoint, I don't know, but I just, again, just flared up. And I'm just like, I'm done. I don't want to go. I'm not going. I'm not going to go back. And so we stopped coming for a while, right when we moved to the new building. And visited a couple of places and went just to go, but nothing. And I just felt more and more the Lord was saying, go back. Go back, go back. And so we went back, and when I went, I felt the Spirit again. Something I hadn't felt in a long time. That the Holy Spirit was saying, it's okay. It's okay. Just be yourself. Pastors, their family, they're under attack all the time. We all are. But you can imagine being a pastor, your family's under a microscope, you're under my microscope, everybody's looking, everybody's watching. A lot of people were wanting you to fail. People want you to mess up. That Spirit, the Lord, he brought us through every single one of those. I look back now, it's like, wow. Couldn't see it at the time. But he brought us through every one of those things. He's brought us through this. I'm not perfect. I'm still not perfect. I still have a lot of healing to do. And I pray for it every day, that the Lord will continue to heal and to see us through. But I feel like a lot of the walls have come down. And we're excited to be a part, and to see where God leads and to continue to heal.
Come on. You have no idea how close that story is to my heart. I knew when we had lunch that day that this would be a special relationship. And it was just an immediate connection through this. How many of you ever been through church hurt? We call it church hurt. Come on, raise your hands high. I want to see it. Come on. Been through church hurt, okay? You know, Scott said it in the video, church people are church people. Church people are people too. And I'll just be honest with you, when I watched this video, I've watched it, that's probably my third or fourth time to watch the video, and it gets me every time, because you can't see in the moment when you're going through what you're going through what God is doing. We can't. I've said this series should be called You Can't See the End from the Beginning Like God Can. Because in every one of these stories, that's going to be a theme. And you can ask all day long, why did God put his family through that? Or why did God do this? Or why did God do that? It's just the wrong question. It's just the wrong question. We live in a broken world with broken people and broken things. And ever since the sin came into the world and divided us away from God, and even for those of us who are not trying to push God out, that kind of stuff comes in. And you're exactly right. People in leadership in churches are attacked all the time. Not just pastors and pastors' wives and family, but if you leave, we've said this before, we say it in Impact, if you come and you get in leadership in the church, just expect it. Especially if you're deeply honed in on what the Spirit of God wants for you. And so when you do that, the enemy raises his head. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care how you grew up. He doesn't care what tools he uses. He just doesn't care, period. And he will use people that he don't even, I mean, that they don't even know he's using them in the moment. And when you hear, I could talk literally, I'm not going to preach for hours, but I could on so many aspects of Scott's story. Betrayal, poor choices, forgiveness. Goodness, when your 17-year-old looks you in the eye and says, you're forgiven. it's amazing. And by the way, some of you are locked up in unforgiveness right now. You need to just go on and get rid of that and forgive and move forward. Because if you don't, you're missing out on a blessing that you can't describe. Probably you yourself haven't really experienced the grace of God if you can't forgive. I've had people say that before and just get my, what? That's almost a judgmental statement. But once you realize how much of a grudge God had to let go of to love you, it kind of makes all the other stuff kind of pale in comparison. It's like getting mad at the Bama or Auburn game yesterday while people in states all around us are losing their homes and they're drowning and people can't find people. And they're somebody on the prayer team group me put that out. I just like, man, it puts it in such a great perspective to understand what really matters. What really matters. And so I'm going to have to resist preaching an hour because you would leave before I finished. And I want to hone in on one thing. And it's really kind of how you ended your story. And it gets me every time. That I finally, for the first time in a long time, sensed his presence. And you know, really, that's the ultimate answer to all of these things. Is the presence of God. And when we get on our own and we're trying to figure it all out and we're trying to, I mean, you put your trust in a pastor, you really do. You put your trust in leadership in the church, and that really should be the way it is. James warns us. He says, don't be many of you leaders, teachers, masters, because you will receive a greater condemnation. So when you put yourself up as a believer in the world, you put yourself under that microscope that he talked about. And trying to live that life can be daunting, especially to people who don't understand grace. I love it when people who don't understand grace try to judge me for something I messed up in. What? Just what do you learn about grace? And you're going to go, oh, I see. And so how his story ended was I could look back and see God in every aspect of my story. And I think that's the struggle of all of this. You know, it's our faith that's under fire, not God's ability. It's our trusting in Him that is the issue. It's not His ability to do what He says He's going to do in His time. And trusting in Him in that is really the only point. For you notes takers, it's all blanks on your sheets if you want to pull those out and write this one statement. Trust His power over my own. Because I have nothing to bring to the table. Nothing. And anything I do have is because He's given it to me. And you guys know what we teach about generosity. We give away everything He's given to us. That's what we do, is we give it away. Give it away. And bless people. So I searched the scriptures, and my, we could literally hundreds of places you could go. My heart fell on this one. Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope. He's the source of it. And so you go out in the woods and you scream at Him and you do what you got to say, what you got to say. Why did you do that? Well, it's because you know He's the source of the thing that can help you in the moment. It's not that you didn't lose your faith. You just simply had to express to a God who's big enough to handle anything you can say to Him. And so He is the source of hope. It says He will fill you, everybody say completely. Completely with money and prosperity. He will fill you completely with a spouse who will meet all of your needs. He will fill you completely with the nicest everything you can possibly think of. He does it. He says He will fill us with joy and peace, and there's a reason behind it. The joy and the peace we've talked about over and over again, but it's simply that inner self that says that even when a pastor is bold-faced lying to you, or a friend bold-faced lies to you, or you've been betrayed by a parent or a sibling or whatever it is, wherever you feel the betrayal and all of that, when you put it in the perspective of that the joy and the peace comes from God and God alone, then all of those other people, you get to give them the break and say, okay, he just don't get it, or she just don't get it, or they don't really understand, or maybe they are just being used by the enemy or whatever it is. But it brings a perspective back into our heart and our life that says, I'm not happy in this situation, and I don't have to be. God never asks us, or He's never really interested in our happiness, to be honest with you. I know we say it in America, Lord, you just deserve happiness. No, you deserve death. If you get right down to it, you deserve hell. But as a believer, you don't get hell. You get heaven, right? Yeah, woo! Yeah, somebody heard that. It's like, I know I'm guilty, but I don't get judged guilty because of what God did. Not what anything that I've done. Nothing that I've done. I pray, I'll pastor till I die, probably. I tried to get out of it. I went through what he did for 3 years and just decided to hell with the church. That was my phrase. If this is what church is all about, it's going to hell anyway. I don't want to be a part of it. And all of you who raised your hand earlier may have thought something like that. And I was bold enough to actually say it. I had a cross in my pocket that I tossed on my dresser and said, I'm done. I'm done. And I just remember as I tossed it, the loneliness that hit my heart. It's like, what have I done? And I wandered in the wilderness for a little while. I did the searching. I did the seeking, trying to find. But the joy and the peace always comes from Him, because the scripture says there, because you trust in Him. You put that back up there, Danny, that passes you. Is it the joy and peace comes because you trust in Him. And I love the next word. The next word in the next slide is then. There's a then that comes with this. Then you will overflow with confident hope. What comes before the overflow? How many of you want to overflow the Holy Spirit today? Anybody in the house want the Holy Spirit to overflow? Some of you are not raising your hand because you have no idea what that's like. What in the world would that, what would happen to me? What would I do? Would I do some crazy stuff or whatever? Listen, God will never fill you with anything that's going to freak you out if you will open your heart to Him. And the fear that I've had for so many years to say, God, I want everything you have for me, has kept me half dead. Because I've denied the life that He can pour into me. And I don't want you to do that. He says, then. When is the then? The then comes after you trust God. It's when you say, Lord, I do give up. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. And some of you are there. Some of you are waiting on something. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're waiting on this project to get finished. Or maybe you're waiting on the school to get done. Maybe you're like I was as a teenager. Just let me get my life right, and then I'll come to God. That's so backwards, man. God wants you in your mess. God wants you right where you are. He's not going to leave you there. So wherever your struggles are, whatever it is, whether it's the pain of rejection and betrayal and all those things that we just heard a great story about, not just a story, but a real life true event that happened in a man's life who was so vulnerable to let everybody know about it, not just here, but all over the internet and everything else, to say, here's my story. Please understand that the only answer is the then. After you trust God, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of, he says, Holy Spirit. And so stop denying the power and open your heart. Will you stand with me, please? Father, as we pray this morning, we seek you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come into this room, to sense what Scott said he did. He sensed again the presence, your presence, God. We want that because we know that there's nothing, God, that we can possibly have or want or desire or have in our lives that's going to fulfill us like you are. No religion can do it, God. We know it. No money can do it. No friendships can do it. No spouse can do it. No pastor can do it. No other person can do it. Whatever it is, God, that we're seeking after and we think we have to have, Lord, please, God, just come in and permeate our lives. Fill us up with your Spirit so much, God, that the only thing that could come out of us is you. The only thing that could come out of us is the words that you would have us to say. And God, thank you for your forgiveness that you bless us every day with. And when we understand that when your presence is here and the hope and our confident hope is only in you and in your Spirit, God, we just trust you. We trust you. I want to get everybody in the room right now just out loud to say, I trust the Lord. Come on. I trust the Lord. Say it again. I trust the Lord. And if you want to add and nothing else behind that, that's okay. Because once we settle that, you can't take a step until you settle that. We have prayer team all around this room for all of you guests who are here today. Welcome, by the way. I forgot that part. We're glad you're here. But do not, just because you're a guest today, feel like I feel a need to go pray. And I don't know these people. It's all right. Just step right out and go pray with somebody. They're all around the room. Men pray with men. Women pray with women. And let's just love each other in the moment. In the moment. Holy Spirit, come. We sense and we need and we want and we desire your presence. God, I thank you that you never left Scott. I thank you that even in the time when he couldn't sense and know, you were there, as close as a whisper. I thank you, God, that even in the moments when we're hurting and we're down and we're afraid and all those things, God, thank you for your presence that's right there. Thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us, even when it feels like you have. We love you, Lord.
I tasted in
presence. That's what we need. Come on, sing it.
Your presence.
We seek you, Father. We seek you right now, Father. Come. Come on. Your presence, Lord. Your presence.
Your presence. Become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Let us become how to pray. Spirit will give you words to say. Utterances, the Bible calls them. It's literally you allowing your spirit to connect with God to the point that you don't know maybe even what you're saying, but He does. So our Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers. I love this phrase, in harmony with the will of God. But you have to submit to that. I have to submit to His will, not mine. And when you say, Holy Spirit, come, I'm so grateful that I don't have to fully understand even what that means. But He will come. You got to make room up in your heart for Him. Open it up to Him now. I want to ask you all across this room, is there anybody that didn't step out that just, I'm not going to ask you what you need to be prayed over or anything. I just would love to pray over you. Would you be willing to raise your hand and just let me pray over you? Yes, there's a couple here. Here's up here. Isn't it good? I don't have to know your situation, that God does, right? He's that good. Yes, back here. Anybody else before I pray, just need a prayer right now. Just, I want to pray over you before we get out of here. Yes, sir, brother. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Back here in the back, yes, I see your hand. You're sitting down. I see that. Anybody else? I hope if you're online this morning, welcome. I hope this morning that in this time when I pray as we end our service that you will pray with us as well. So, Father, right now, all over this room, people raised hands and said, I need prayer. I need you. I need your presence. I need your healing. I need your blessing. I need your focus. I just sense that somebody's thinking, I need to be closer to God. I need to be closer to you, Father. Whatever that looks like, Lord, I pray that you will bring that person close. I sense familial relationships that are hurting. I see people that are grieving. I see, God, people who need healing. And I pray, God, over them right now, Father, that in Jesus' name, by the power of your Spirit, and everything, Father, we can call on you with, and we just, the name of Jesus is all we need. And we just pray in Jesus' name over those people. God, I pray against any kind of forces that are in our homes, that are in our lives, that are not of you. And I pray, God, that has to go. Whatever that spirit is, has to leave. And so, God, when we say Jesus' name, the devils tremble, they run, they fear, they walk away, they are gone, they are gone. And so, Father, we proclaim that in Jesus' name this morning, that that all demonic forces that are inundating anybody's life, whether possession or oppression, whatever that is, God, I pray against that in Jesus' name. And I love having this vision of watching the demons go, no, we got to get out of here. Father, we thank you for your power and your mercy and your blessing. And Father, for those in this room right now who have never said Jesus is Lord, to make Jesus Lord of their life, God, I pray that right now all over this room, people will take the first step, the step of belief, and just say, I now believe, I trust, and begin that walk and that journey. I pray, Father, that you will bless as they take those steps. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming. Thank you for being in our lives, guiding our lives. Give us nudges here and words there and scripture here and there. Continue, Father, to send your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for going back to be with the Father so that we could have Holy Spirit in our life. Let's pray, God, you'll continue to fill us. Thank you for Scott's story today, Lord. Thank you, God, for the vulnerability to open a heart up and to say, this hurts so bad, but I have found my way to the presence. Thank you for your patience and your kindness and your blessing. Through Christ I pray. Amen. Man, hasn't it been great to be here today, man? What a great day. Love you guys. I love you guys. To all of our guests, I'm supposed to do this at the beginning.